And I pulled some synonyms that would really help frame out the word inharmonia. So it's unpleasing, incompatible, out of tune, disagreeing, or conflicting. Out of tune, disagreeing, incompatible, unpleasing. And so when we're reading that verse, the fear of the Lord is the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances. The thought that came to my mind is, well, inharmonious with what? Well, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, right? So I believe the fear of God is the adjustment to all circumstances that are out of tune, that are in conflict, that are unpleasing, and incompatible with the kingdom of God. If it's not in line with the kingdom of God, if it doesn't represent righteousness, peace, and joy, the fear of there's keys with the fear of the Lord that will bring adjustment to those situations in our lives, cause us to line up with God's word, please God, and build the kingdom. Amen. The fear of God, as we talked about last week, is also a foundation for wisdom. And there's this connection between the fear of the Lord and this connection between the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Proverbs 15:33 says, the reverent and worshipful, there we go again, reverence and worship. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord brings instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. What is wisdom? It's wisdom is the application of knowledge, right? It's having insight into a situation. It's having knowledge or data, understanding that information, and then actually in the application of it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go on. And so if we want to have godly wisdom, we have to have godly information. We have to have an understanding of God's word. We want to get God's word in our hearts. And so many times in scriptures, I believe this is the reason why various writers encourage us to meditate on God's word, be counseled by God's word, spend time in God's word, because it's just a treasure mine of wisdom. There's so much there that we want to know and incorporate in our lives. And if we're willing to do that, we are building a foundation for wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10, this is in the Message translation, says, skilled living gets its start in the fear of the Lord. We're going to see that phrase a couple times this morning. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life from knowing a holy God. It's through me, Lady Wisdom, that your life deepens and the years of your life ripen. You know, Solomon, he was a wise guy, and he was wise enough not to put, it's through me, Mr. Wisdom, that your life deepens and the years of your life ripen. He needed to know, you know, if I'm going to give wisdom a gender, we'll call it Lady Wisdom. See, that just shows how smart he was right there, right from the get-go. But there's two ways to live this life, right? Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. So we can live life spiritually skilled, but it's also possible to live life spiritually unskilled. Now, I'm talking about a believer. I'm talking about someone that has a relationship with Jesus. But if we're willing to live our lives unskilled, if we don't have the full counsel of God, if we're not grounded in His Word, we can have a relationship with Jesus. We can have eternal security, right? So we know that we're going to heaven. But as we talked about last week, there can be pitfalls and there can be traps that the devil has for us, that if we don't have the wisdom of God, if we're not grounded in the fear of the Lord, we can get caught up in that stuff. It can sidetrack us. We can get in a rut. We can go places where we didn't intend to go and end up in destinations where we didn't intend to end up if we don't exercise the fear of the Lord and have godly wisdom active in our lives. But skillful living, applying the wisdom of God, that's the way to live. That's an exciting way to live. And the fear of the Lord and godly wisdom, I believe, gives us the ability to live in victory over troubles, trials, discouragements that come, because they are going to come in our life. We're going to experience those things. But the fear of the Lord and godly wisdom are two keys that I believe God gives us to live in victory over those situations and have righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom, no matter what our world is bringing in front of us. Amen? We're going to talk a little bit about faith today and look at the relationship between wisdom and faith, because just like there's a connection between the fear of the Lord and wisdom, there's also a connection, I believe, with wisdom and faith, and we need to know how they work together, how they relate to each other. If there's one word as believers we use to describe our walk, it's probably the word faith, isn't it? Right? So we can say, you know, this is my faith, or I have faith, or I belong to the Christian faith. And even in the world, people would recognize Christianity or perhaps religious beliefs as your faith. And so that's a common word that we use, and we know that we're called to live by faith. There's many different scriptures that would say that righteous people and believers are called to live by faith. Probably the most common is Romans 1:17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And the New Living Translation says it's through faith that the righteous person has life. So faith is how we have life. And if you've been a part of Solid Rock Church for any period of time, you've heard me speak about faith, and you've heard my dad speak about faith, and there's been Doug and Ryan and Fallon and others, and we've shared about faith. Faith is so important to have a revelation on and understand, because faith is the currency of our transactions between God and man. Everything that we receive from God, starting with salvation, we receive by faith, right? It's by grace through faith. Grace provides it. Faith causes it to be received. And so everything that we receive from God, faith is the currency that makes that transaction possible, that makes that blessing possible. And so it starts with, you know, salvation, like we learned this morning, but includes healing, provision for finances, anything else that we need in life, everything that God provides for us and wants to give us comes by faith. And so it's really important to understand faith and learn how to apply it in our life. If we want to be led by the Holy Spirit, that happens by faith as well, right? Because when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, we have to have faith that we're hearing accurately, and then we have to have faith to go ahead and do what He actually is asking us to do. If we want to see the results, if we want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that relationship also happens by faith. Another way that faith is involved in our lives is every spiritual tool and every spiritual weapon that God's given us, faith is the creative force that activates that tool. So you think of the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the authority that we have in believers. I have a list here. The power of confession, the gifts of the Spirit, all those things work by faith from a foundation of love. Now, we're not going to talk about love today, but it's love is the foundation, and then we activate all those spiritual tools, all those spiritual weapons, all the things that the Lord has given us. Faith is the fuel in the tank. It's what makes it go. And so that's why we have such a strong focus on faith in our church. And it's our desire as your leaders to have you guys have a revelation on faith and get grounded on it so you know how to use it and apply it. God is looking for people of faith. Amen? He's not going to just do what He wants on this earth. In fact, He's not able to do what He wants to do on this earth without people extending their faith. We've talked about this in the past. Why is that? It's not because He's not powerful enough to do it. It's because He's bound by His word, and He has made a commitment to operate in this world through our faith. He's committed to doing it, so He's going to honor His word. He's not going to bypass His word, and so we need to have faith. This is important. But how does faith then tie in with wisdom? Where is the connection? Let's read James 1, verses 2 to 8. Familiar verses. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So we're again, the Apostle James is letting us know, tough times are going to come. You're going to need faith. Tough times, you got to have faith. But watch the transition here in verse 5. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." That is probably one of the most common verses on wisdom and well-known verses on wisdom in the Bible. And we often quote that and we'll pray that because that's a promise from God's word. "Lord, I need wisdom, and I thank you that your word says that if I need wisdom, you give it liberally and without reproach." That means you don't make fun of me or you don't make light of me asking. And so we have this situation where James is saying, you're going to need faith, your faith's going to be tested, but if you need wisdom, you need to ask for that as well. Let's continue on. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways." This verse, we could preach a whole sermon just from this verse, or this group of verses alone. But I want to see that what I want to point out in this verse is we have a situation where James is saying, you're going to need faith and you're going to need wisdom. And when you ask for wisdom, ask for it in faith, believing you're going to receive it. Why is James telling us, ask for wisdom and ask for it in faith? Because you're going to need that wisdom. It's not just faith that you need, but you need wisdom combined with your faith to see you through that situation. He's trying to get a point across here. And so we need wisdom, I believe, in order to effectively use our faith. Wisdom gives direction to our faith. And so we have to learn, how do the two work together? How do they complement each other? When do we, you know, apply more wisdom? When do we apply more faith? And by God's grace, we'll get there this morning. We'll dig into this, and he'll give us some revelation. He'll speak to us. I should have prayed before we started. Let's just do that right now. If you don't do it at the beginning, the best time is right now. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have a special revelation for this morning on this area of faith and wisdom and how they relate together, Lord. And so as we study your word, we declare revelation by you, Holy Spirit. We are open to receive everything, Holy Spirit, that you have for us this morning. And so we thank you for utterance from myself. We thank you for faith to come in all those who are listening, Lord, that they would draw out your word this morning, that it would go deep and bear much fruit for your kingdom. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, humans are both natural and supernatural beings. Now, when I use the word natural, we're just talking about the world, right? We're talking about the physical world that we live. So the human being, because we have not just a body and a soul, but we have a spirit, we are natural and supernatural beings. The addition of a spirit, that eternal part of us, that's the supernatural part of us. Animals are not supernatural beings because they have a body and they have a soul, but they don't have a spirit. And so people who don't know the word of God, people who don't have revelation on this, people who are humanist and they're thinking, they'll just say that man is an animal, right? And we see people that have elevated animals to the level of humans. In fact, some people will treat animals with more care and more love and more consideration for animals than they will be for human beings. That's just a little bit of a bunny trail. But the point is that humans are, we live in a natural world, but we're supernatural beings because we don't just have a body and a soul, but we have a spirit. Therefore, it's really vital for us to understand how to take spiritual, supernatural truths and cause them to be a reality in our natural lives. That's what the life of a believer is, learning how to take supernatural treasure, supernatural blessings, things that God has first provided for us supernaturally in the spirit world, and learning how to cause it to be manifested in our physical lives, in our natural lives. Amen? And so we have this understanding as believers that we're natural beings and we're supernatural beings. The reason it's important to understand this is we don't have to choose between wisdom and faith. Some people think, well, wisdom just applies to the natural world, and faith, that's a supernatural thing. And they see it as a one or the other. And the truth is, we need both wisdom and faith. They're not mutually exclusive. We don't have to choose wisdom over faith, and we don't have to choose faith over wisdom. With God's help and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to live skillfully and apply faith and wisdom to the same situation to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. And some believers, they tend to forget about the power of the Holy Spirit. They tend to forget about the finished work of the cross. And when they arrive in a tough place or a tough time, they just want to rely, their natural default is to rely on their own instinct or their own intellect or maybe some of the experience that they've gained through life. And that is relying on natural wisdom. Then we have the other end of the spectrum, and there's some people that they come into a tight time or a tight pinch, and they're just believing for a miracle, and they're just praying for a miracle, and they're standing in faith, and yet the wisdom of God is right there in front of them to solve that situation, and they can't see the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, or however that, you guys know what I'm getting at, right? Sometimes there's just wisdom right there. Sometimes it's so obvious that a person who's not a Christian sees that wisdom and is like, why is that person praying? They just need to do that. And that's silly as believers when we do that. It should not be that way, right? If we have God's wisdom, we can apply faith to a situation, and we can apply the wisdom and the counsel of God to a situation. The two are not incompatible. In fact, they were designed to work together. 1 Corinthians 3:19, this is in the Passion Translation, "For what the world says is wisdom is actually foolishness in God's eyes. As it's written, the cleverness of know-it-alls becomes a trap that ensnares them." And so we do not want to live life unskillfully, just trying to be clever and be a know-it-all and rely on our intellect and our experience and our instinct and the reasoning skills that we have, and just trying to apply a logic to every situation. There is wisdom, and it's in the world, because the world has gleaned honestly from the principles of God's word and many business truths and business wisdom. For example, it has a direct foundation in the word of God. So there is a wisdom out there, But we need to apply faith as well. You know, and wisdom is not uncommon. Sometimes people think, well, I just have no idea what to do, and no one's ever experienced this situation before. In fact, wisdom is all over the place, and Solomon does a good job, and there's a couple places in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is our go-to book about wisdom, right? But Solomon makes it clear in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is all over the place. And so right in the very first part of the book, in Proverbs 1, verse 20, he says, wisdom shouts in the streets, she cries out in the public square. And there's another chapter where he's talking about, there's wisdom on the hills, and there's wisdom at the gates, and there's wisdom at every crossroads that you come to in life. And so Solomon's saying, you need wisdom. It doesn't matter whether you're in the hills, or you're at a decision place, or, you know, the gates of a town was symbolic of commerce and trade. Whatever area you need wisdom for in your life, there is wisdom there. It's crying out to you. But we need the Lord's help to access that wisdom and apply it in our lives. Trying to have achieve a spiritual outcome with just the world's wisdom is foolish. But waiting for spiritual deliverance when there's God's wisdom right in front of us, and we just need to be willing to take that action and sometimes do something that's hard to achieve a positive outcome, that's equally as foolish, right? So we don't want to be in either of these ditches. We want to learn how to follow the road of truth, the road of wisdom and faith. I want to give an example about this, of using faith and wisdom. So here's an example of applying both faith and wisdom. If a doctor was to give you a diagnosis, then you would use wisdom to access every remedy that's available to you. And that's something you'd want to pray about, right? Because there would be things that the Holy Spirit would want to reveal to you. Or perhaps you needed to take this vitamin or this medication, or perhaps, you know, the doctor might recommend that you do change up your physical regimen or something like that. But you would still be standing in faith for healing as well. So while you're listening to the advice of your doctor, do you know that medical learning and medical knowledge, that it's the Lord who's caused that to abound in the earth? Right? It is, you know, the Lord is our source, and he's not just our source of provision, but he's also the source of all knowledge. Right? And so the medical community that has used research and development to come up with all these solutions and medications in some cases, or new surgeries, or all these things, the Lord's behind that. And these people might not all understand that. They might not have a revelation of that. But God can use a doctor to have you recover in a physical way in your life, just like he can use a miracle. And so we want to be open to those things, but have the Holy Spirit speak to you if there's something that you want to apply. But you're also standing in faith when you get that diagnosis, right? What does that mean? That means that you're standing on your healing scriptures, whether it's Psalm 103 or in 2 Peter, or, you know, just getting into the Old Testament in Exodus, where Moses tells people, the Lord your God is your healer. I'm the one who heals you. Whatever are the verses that you stand on for faith and healing, you're going to be listening to your doctor. You're going to be using wisdom as the Holy Spirit directs you, but you're also standing in faith. That is faith and wisdom operating side by side. They're not mutually exclusive. You don't have to choose one over the other. You can use the wisdom of God, be applying your faith, and you are not, I want to be clear on this, you are not compromising your faith by using your wisdom and maybe doing something the doctor is asking you to do. That is not a compromise of your faith, right? You don't have to, you know what will happen? The enemy will guilt you into doing that. He'll say, don't do that because then you're not standing in faith. You know, he'll try and give us a lie and warp our thinking in any way that if we're willing to yield to you, we'll just believe something that's not true. And so we want to be clear on this. We want to have the wisdom of God. We don't want to let any opportunity to twist our thinking as well. We trust wisdom to do its part, and we trust faith to do its part and receive the healing and whatever God has designed for us and has laid aside for us in that situation. Some of these, you know, I'm believing for God's grace in some of these examples, because this is a topic of conversation. Some of the things, like insurance, for example, that I've had with believers before. And I would say over the last 30 or 40 years, as the Lord has brought this revelation of the word of faith, this is a common conversation. But there's some people that get so focused on the word of faith, they think that buying insurance is a sin, that's not standing in faith if you have insurance. My personal belief, and I'm not saying you have to believe this way, my personal belief is that insurance is wisdom. And so it's not a lack of faith to buy insurance. It's just wisdom, right? And even like how the Lord brings medical knowledge to abound in the earth, I'm thankful that the Lord causes people to have the desire to start insurance underwriter businesses. And then he gives us brokers like Cook and Cook that are willing to sell us that insurance to us. And that's the blessing of God, that we have insurance writers and we have brokers that are willing to sell us insurance policies. And so when you buy insurance, you are not saying, Lord, I do not believe in you and your ability to protect you. You're just using godly wisdom in combination with your faith. And so you buy insurance, and then you plead the blood of Jesus over your house and your property and your possessions, and you stand in faith, believing and trusting you'll never have to use that insurance. But if an attack comes, like if your shop burns down, you're thankful you had that insurance, because that was wisdom. Amen? And so we want to use wisdom and faith, and don't ever let the enemy manipulate your thinking that you can't use them both together. Amen? Ryan, you might want to prepare for some more business this week. We are both natural and supernatural beings, and so when you need a supernatural answer to a problem, it's there through the Word of God. But when you need a physical answer to the problem, when you need a natural answer, it's also there through the wisdom of God. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will help you. He will guide you and find it. We want to be learners. You know, one of the things, I love being around people that are learners. People that if they don't know something, they're quick to admit it, and they just want to take it all in. They'll Google it. They'll watch on YouTube. They'll read a book. They'll ask someone else. They'll write a letter. They'll do whatever. It's refreshing to be around someone who's just eager to acquire more. And this is just a personal peeve of mine, but being around a know-it-all, I don't got time for those people. That's tough to be around a know-it-all. Someone who's got it all figured out, right? This is just me personally, insight into Pastor Cam. But being around a learner, someone who's anxious and wants to learn more and incorporate more knowledge, that's exciting, that's refreshing. And Proverbs encourages us to do that. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." So if you want to be prudent, if you want to be wise, seek knowledge. Be a learner. Be a lifelong learner. You know what that means? That means that you can be 75 years old and learn how to use a computer. You can be 85 years old and learn how to text. I'm just being honest. Don't say, I'm too old, or you can't teach an old dog new tricks or anything. That's a load of bunk. It is. Be a learner. You have all the wisdom and the grace that God's given you to incorporate new things in your life. Candace has a great aunt that is, she's what, 99? Did she turn 100 already? She's on Facebook. She wishes the grandkids, the great-grandkids or great-grandnieces, whatever, she wishes them happy birthday, and she comments on things that we're doing. You know, I'm not telling you to go on Facebook. I'm telling you to be a learner. She's a learner, right? That's why she's so cool to be around, because if it's there and it's something that's going to enrich her life, she's willing to knuckle down and learn how to do it. And that's refreshing. That's exciting to be around. And so the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. There's three steps to growing in wisdom in every area. The first thing is you got to acquire knowledge. You have to grow in knowledge, research it, do what you got to do. The next step is understanding. So you have this knowledge, which is really this raw data, and then you need understanding to interpret and understand and know how to apply the knowledge that you've gained. The third step is where wisdom actually happens, because it's in the application of the knowledge that you now understand that wisdom actually takes place. You have to make changes based on what you learned. And Scripture just lays this out as clear as a bell. Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And again, Proverbs is such a treasure mine of wisdom. But it's, you know, King Solomon understood that wisdom isn't just wisdom. Wisdom requires a base of knowledge, and it requires understanding and knowing how to apply that knowledge. And when you have knowledge and you understand that knowledge and you actually do something about it, that's when you have wisdom. And if you have knowledge and you have understanding and you're not doing anything about it, You don't have wisdom. You just have knowledge. And you might have understanding, but it's not wisdom to actually learn to apply that knowledge. Wisdom requires all three steps. And I believe that God is involved in this process. We have a part to play, but God's involved. And so it requires us to make choices and to take action and be diligent. But it also requires belief and trust and faith to build wisdom in our lives. One of the benefits of wisdom, when we learn how to acquire knowledge, when we work to understand it, and then we make changes based on that knowledge and based on the understanding of that knowledge, one of the benefits is that it gives us a good reputation. Another way of phrasing that, and it's the phrase that Fallon used in the offering, is it gives us influence, a good reputation. We have godly wisdom in our lives, then we begin to grow influence. Proverbs 22:1 says, "Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold." If we want to have spiritual influence in a natural world, we need wisdom. We need a good reputation. Because that's our call as believers, is to reach our world for the gospel, isn't it? How did Jesus phrase it to us? Go into all the world and make disciples. And so that's our call as believers. It's not just to be here in church, just singing nice songs and encouraging each other and saying, bless you, brother, and bless you, sister, and visiting at the post and eating some of Shelley's delicious muffins and all those things. Those things are all wonderful. But ultimately, we are called to influence our world for the gospel. We are called to build the kingdom. Amen? And so that requires influence. If we don't have influence, meaning if we're lacking wisdom in our lives, if the world looks at us and says, I'm not sure what they do in there, but man, are they ever silly in business, and they just done some dumb things, and why are those people always broke? And if our lives do not show significance, do not show the benefit of wisdom, where's our influence? It's really quite low. And I believe that we need influence in life if we're going to just change our world and build the kingdom. And that's where wisdom comes in. When you apply God's principles to your life, when you apply wisdom to your life, people will take notice. They really will. When your life begins to have success, and we're going to talk about this just very shortly, the stages of wisdom. But when your life begins to have success and significance, people will take notice, and they'll want to know, how are you doing that? I know where you work. I know what goes on in your life, but how are you walking in that blessing? They'll want to know. They'll want to know how it is that the blessing of God is operating in your life. And you'll have, you're going to have the opportunity to tell them, well, it's not just wisdom, it's faith and wisdom working together. Amen? How many of you guys have heard of a fellow named Zig Ziglar? There's a few of you. He's got like one of the best names ever, I'm pretty sure. If I wasn't Cam Hart, I might want to be Zig Ziglar. That's just really memorable, and it's kind of a fun name. Zig Ziglar has passed away now. I would say he was a thought leader in business and definitely had a sales background, but he was someone he was a believer, and the Lord had showed him some things about business and about finance and about leadership and sales. And he traveled the world educating others and sharing the wisdom that God had given him. And if you ever want to even read some inspiring quotes, just type in Zig Ziglar quotes in Google, and you have all kinds of quotes. Really interesting. Read about that guy. Just someone that had a lot of godly wisdom. But he identified four stages to living life well, and four stages of life. And he called it life management. Four stages of life management. I would say that life management is just wisdom in action. Life management is learning how to live well, or as we read in Proverbs, life management is learning how to live skillfully. So here's the four steps. And he had a book called Over the Top. I haven't read it, but I read about both these four steps from another author. And here's his four steps. Step one is survival. Then there's stability. Then there's success. And then there's significance. So you have survival, stability, success, and significance. We're going to use marriage as an example because it could be a little bit humorous, perhaps. But when you start dating, you're probably in survival mode. You're just trying to keep your head above water, right? You know, you're looking for someone to spend your life with. And I would say that's kind of similar to survival mode. You're just like, Lord, just let me get through this. But when you find someone who likes you and they decide that they want to spend the rest of their life with you and you decide that about them, now you're at, and you make the commitment, the lifelong commitments. Now you're married. You make that lifelong commitment to be with each other. Now you're at a place of stability, right? There's a little bit of stability in this relationship. But not all marriages are successful, right? We know this about marriages. And so what needs to happen in your marriage to take it from stability to success? Well, you have to understand each other. You have to work out your differences. And you learn to experience intimacy. You learn to accomplish goals together. You learn to follow the truths of God's word together. Those are all things that need to happen to take your marriage from stability to success. But it doesn't stop with success. That might sound like, okay, well, that's awesome. Our marriage is doing really well. We're enriching each other. We're giving each other a fulfillment in our marriage. But God has called us to one step further, and that step is significance. So what is a marriage of significance? A marriage of significance is one that doesn't just bless you, but it blesses others around you. Perhaps the Lord would give you opportunities for you and your spouse to maybe help others who are not doing so well in their marriage, right? Maybe to offer counseling or love or care. Or maybe it's just being a role model to your children and your friends and family of what a godly, successful, significant marriage looks like, right? And that's why I appreciated Fallon's example so much, because, you know, if that top cup is your marriage, you're not just designed to be full and successful in your marriage, but God wants to give you just fullness in your marriage relationships, for example, so that that wisdom and that experience and that love and that insight and all the things that you've acquired over years in your marriage, it's meant to bless others as well. Amen? And so that you can see the progression there, right? Survival, stability, success, and then significance. And I believe significance should be a goal not just for marriage relationships, but for every area in our lives. Here's the thing about this, though. It comes easier in some areas than others, doesn't it? And so as you're thinking about the various areas of your life or the various areas where you might have influence, chances are you're not at the same level in each of those, right? So you can think of your career or your health or your marriage or your family. You know, maybe there's some hobbies that you're involved in or just different parts of your life. Chances are that you're not at the significance level in all of those. You might be successful in one area and just maybe feel that you're kind of stable in another. Maybe there's even areas in your life where you feel, boy, in this area, I'm just in survival mode right now. That's okay. That's totally okay. We're all in process, and the Lord helps us, but He wants to bring us to significance, because significance is the stage where we really start to have influence to those around us. Amen? And so that's where I believe faith and wisdom, one of those keys that takes us to that place of significance, that place where others around us see what's going on, and they're blessed as a result. You know, I was really encouraged that Fallon used Proverbs 3 as well, because I'm going to read some verses from Proverbs 3. Now, I'm in the first part of Proverbs 3, but it's really neat that, you know, if you read we're going to read the verses 1 to 4 right now, but they really all tie together, right? So probably, I think you started 9 or 10 or something like that. Read all of it together sometimes. Proverbs 3, and pick a, you know, something that's a little bit more expressive, maybe like the Message translation or the Passion translation. I'm going to read from the Passion translation, verses 1 to 4. My child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. That's significance, right? Hold on to loyal love and don't let go, and be faithful to all you've been taught. It's a fear of God. Let your life be shaped by integrity, with truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men, and you will gain the reputation of living life well. Isn't it remarkable how this verse just kind of pulls together some of the things that we're talking about? We've learned how a good reputation is a benefit to us. It gives, you know, it gives us influence in places where God has called us to have influence. We want to have the reputation of living life well, don't we? Amen. So significance, that's where I believe God calls us to live. Now, when we're in survival mode, what do we need? We need a survival miracle, right? When we're in survival mode, and this is something that, by God's grace, I want to share with you guys and help us be on the same page and have an understanding of this, that where we're in survival mode, we're going to need a miracle. Oftentimes, we are believing for and standing for a miracle to get us to that place of stability and success. And when that happens, it's spectacular. It's amazing, right? We're like, thank you, Lord. You came through for me in a way that I couldn't have done for myself. And that is the blessing of God when that's happened. That's amazing. Survival miracles happen in survival mode, but we're not called to stay in survival mode, are we? We're called to stability and success and significance. And if we're stuck in survival mode all the time, just believing for miracles in every area of our lives, and we haven't applied godly wisdom in those areas, how are we going to be able to have significance? And how are we going to be able to have influence in the world around us? Because people will look at our lives and they're like, they're just in survival mode all the time. And it, guys, it's a powerful testimony when God comes through for us in survival mode. We believe in the supernatural. We declare it over our lives. And, you know, and there's times when the attack of the enemy comes, even when you're not in survival mode, and now it becomes survival mode, right? So you've been in an area of stability or perhaps success or even significance, and the attack of the enemy can come on strong, and you're believing for a miracle, and that's totally okay. You should be doing that. You should be applying your faith in that situation. But that's not God's best to live that way all the time. Where do we want to be believing for miracles for? In the significance stage, right? In success and significance. When we're dreaming big and God's given us big plans and big desires and he's just enlarging our hearts to the things that he wants to do in our lives, in our families, in our church, and we have no idea how it's going to happen, but we're willing to apply our faith and move forward with the things that he's asked us to do. That's the kind of miracles we want to be believing for as a church. Amen? Miracles of significance. Miracles to bring a greater level of success. And so, I'm not saying that we need to feel condemned or down on ourselves when we're in a survival mode in one area of our lives and we are believing for God. Absolutely, we want to do it. But it's not God's best. We should not be in survival mode all the time. And sometimes, rather than a miracle, we just need to apply some wisdom to get us to that next stage, to get us some stability. Sometimes there's just a little wisdom of God that can move us from survival to stability, or just some practical application of truths in this book right here that can take us from stability to success. And so we need the wisdom of God and the supernatural and the application of our faith to bring us from survival all the way through to significance. We can see examples of this in the Old Testament. Again, we talk about them a lot, but the people of Israel, right? When they were in Egypt, what mode were they in? It's trying to survive, right? They're just trying to make those bricks as fast as they possibly could, put one foot ahead of the other, live life one day at a time. When they got into the desert, yes, they were trying to survive, but with the Lord's provision and some miraculous things that happened, like water gushing from a rock, quail, you know, 3 feet of quail on the ground every morning, manna that would come, maybe the quail was later on, whatever. God provided for them, and their needs were met. Their clothes didn't wear out, right? The Bible tells us that while they're 40 years in the desert, their clothes didn't wear out. There was no sickness and disease among them. They had food. It was the same food every day. It was manna and quail. But they had stability, didn't they? But would you call that success? Were they living successfully in the desert? They weren't, right? God had the promised land for them. He had a place flowing with milk and honey. And it was not God's plan just to remain for them to remain in that place of stability. He wanted success and then significance for them. And so he called them into the promised land. They had to use wisdom, but they also had to use their faith to beat those giants, didn't they? Before they were ready to use their faith, they were just kind of applying human wisdom to the situation. And fear and unbelief crept in, and they weren't able to take possession of the land, because had they applied faith with their wisdom, they would have been able to quite honestly, be in the promised land a whole lot sooner. But when they were ready to use faith with wisdom, they were able to have success in the promised land. They were able to beat all their enemies, to subdue them and make them slaves or push them out of the land. Or in some cases, some nations, they just eradicated them entirely. And then later on, they began to have success and then significance. But what's interesting is when they moved into the promised land, they began to apply their faith, and they moved from stability to success, their clothes started to wear out. And water wasn't gushing from rocks anymore. And manna wasn't, you know, appearing on the ground. And all those massive amounts of quail weren't falling on the ground anymore. They had to dig wells, and they had to plant fields, and they had to learn how to harvest. They had to learn how to grow crops, and they had to get better at animal husbandry and learning how to manage livestock. And they had to establish businesses and commerce and trade and all these things. And so here they are needing to apply their faith to conquer the giants and take possession of the land, but then they're needing to also use the wisdom of God to move from stability to success, and from success to significance. So God loves to do miracles for his people. But there are times in our lives when we're moving from one step to another that there's some wisdom that he wants us to apply, and there's some principles from his word that he's just saying, understand it and be willing to work it. Right? Just understand how that works and be willing to do the work required to apply that wisdom in that area, to take the actions that I'm calling you to take. Psalms 90:17 says, O Lord our God, let your sweet beauty rest on us and give us favor. Come work with us, and then our works will endure and give us success in all we do. So the psalmist understood this. Lord, we need your favor. We need the supernatural, but we're working. And so we're declaring your favor over the things that we're doing, because we know that when your favor anoints what we're doing, the work that we're doing, the work that wisdom is calling for, we'll have success in all we do. So success and significance come through following God's principles, understanding the fear of the Lord, understanding godly wisdom, and then be willing to take action and do the work required. And because, again, we live in a natural world, we're supernatural beings, though. We're not just natural beings. And so it's this application of faith and wisdom, bringing them together, learning how to combine them. And we have, thank the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and wisdom and direction in doing that. Holy Spirit is amazing. And he will reveal you the times where you need to have a greater influence, perhaps on faith, or wisdom that you need to take in a situation. But you need to be ready for the increase and the growth that God wants to bring in your life. If you're in survival mode, he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you in stability and then success. So if you're in stability in an area, there's more. God's desire is for you to have success in that area. And guys, I'm right here with you, right? He's speaking this to me. He who teaches learns it first. The Lord's been speaking this to me because I have areas in my life where I need to go to the next level. And the Lord's speaking to me. I have areas in my life where I have quite a bit of knowledge, and I even understand that knowledge, but I just haven't got wise enough to do anything about it yet. Right? This is, all of us have areas in our lives where we need the wisdom of God to do those things that he's called us to do. Colossians 2, we're going to read this from a couple of translations. Colossians 2, 6 to 7 says, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and establish the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I believe this verse shows faith and wisdom. We're grounded in our faith. We're established in our faith. We understand the word. We understand what the favor of God, we understand what the gifts of the Spirit do for us. But we have to do as we've been taught. That means, first of all, we have to be willing to be learners and be taught and be counseled and instructed by the word of God. And we have to do it in order to abound with thanksgiving. So we're established in faith, but we're also applying wisdom. And so the questions I would have for you guys this morning, do you have the skills, do you have the ability to manage the increase and the influence that the Lord wants to bring in your life? Are you willing to move from the stability or the success in whatever area that he's speaking to your spirit about right now? Are you willing to seek him about what is it going to take to get me to the next level in this area of my life? Lord, what do you have for me? What are some practical things? Are there things right in front of me that I have not been able to see because I have not maybe applied your counsel or applied your wisdom, or I haven't done the things that I know I could be or should be doing, that I could tell someone else to do in my situation, but I haven't been willing to do myself. Lord, what are these things? Show them to me. Reveal them to me. Is there an area of your life where you've been really spiritual-minded and standing in faith, but there's just some wisdom that needs to be applied? Or perhaps it's the opposite, right? Maybe there's an area of your life where you've just been applying human solutions, human wisdom to it, and you just need to get some faith in that situation. Maybe it's purely a spiritual battle, a spiritual attack, and you just need to get some word and some spiritual weapons and start declaring victory over that and just seeing that thing removed and falling off your life, right? So chances are, both questions could be answered here today, that there's areas in our lives where we need more wisdom, there's areas in our lives where we need to identify faith and then use the weapons and the tools and the resources that God's given us to come against that thing. That same verse then, Colossians 2, 6 to 7, let's read it in the Message translation. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. I like how direct this is. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live in Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying this subject and start learning it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Didn't we see that today? Lord is speaking something to us here today, guys. Let your living, let your skillful living spill over. That, you know, if you don't catch anything else, learn how to live skillfully, applying wisdom and applying faith to the point that it spills over. This is why God has impressed on us to have a vision of being free, full, and overflowing. Amen? Because He wants us to live skillfully. He wants us to have influence. There are people in this community that need to know what you have. The wisdom that you have, the faith that you have, the revelation that you have, the things that the Lord has showed you, the things that you are applying in your life, or maybe haven't quite yet applied in your life, but you're going to do by God's grace. People need it. And so we have to get it. We have to learn how to receive it. Amen? Last verse, Psalm 16:3. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I would just say excellent ones, significant ones, pick your word. God is looking for people who are excellent, who are skillful at living. And His delight is in them. Faith pleases Him. We often say faith pleases God. You know what? Wisdom also pleases God. Faith pleases God. Wisdom pleases God. So skillful living, combining the fear of the Lord and wisdom and faith will give you influence. It'll move you up levels in your life. It'll cause you to spill over and bless those around you. That's how God wants us to live. Amen? Let's stand. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You're speaking to us this morning. Lord, we thank You for just the powerful illustration we even saw this morning, Lord, how You have designed us to have influence, to overflow into lives of those around us. Lord, we thank You that You've given each of us circles of influence where our personality and our background and our expertise or our connections or our skills or our insight or whatever it is, Lord, but You've given each of us circles of influence where You want us to build the kingdom, to be strong in that area, to be able to build in our lives and then have an outflow and have an abundance so that we can build into the lives of those around us, Lord. So we thank You for the wisdom of God. We thank You for the fear of God that instructs us, Lord, that counsels us, that gives us the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom to live skillfully, Lord. And we purpose as a church to do that, Lord. We purpose to be as a church that people look at us and say, man, those guys are doing something right. What is going on at Solid Rock Church, Lord? And so we thirst for the supernatural, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for miracles, Lord. We thank You for just supernatural activity, Lord, that points to Your greatness and to points to Your power. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that is a conduit of that power and speaks to us and guides us and leads us supernaturally, Lord, so that we live above the circumstances of life, Lord. But we also are equally grateful, Lord, for your wisdom and your counsel and your word that instructs us and guides us and gives us such a solid foundation to build our lives on, Lord. So we purpose, Lord, not to reject wisdom and to follow only faith or do the other, Lord. We purpose, Lord, to embrace both wisdom and faith in our lives, Lord, to live skillfully, to honor you, to bring glory to you, Lord, and to achieve the purposes and pursuits, Lord, that you've called us to on this earth, Lord, to bring others to the kingdom, Lord, to bring in the harvest, to build the kingdom, to usher in the end times, Lord. So we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your presence, your power, and your goodness. We thank you for the blessing, Lord. As we become wiser, as we receive more knowledge, as we acquire more spiritual revelation, we thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of the blessing in Solid Rock Church. We thank you for the manifestation of the glory of God in Solid Rock Church. We bless you, Jesus. We love you. I declare over this church, Lord, favor this week. We thank you, Lord, that you make a way where there seems to be no way, Lord. We thank you that your hand is on us. We thank you that the blood of Jesus protects us and covers us. So for those who are traveling this week, Lord, we declare that they are under the shadow of your wing, Lord, that they are protected by the one, by the Almighty, Lord, that they no weapon formed against them prospers. For those who have business decisions this week, Lord, who are working this week, Lord, and there's things in front of them that need your help, Lord, we declare the wisdom and counsel of God, Lord. For those of us, Lord, who are married and need wisdom in our marriages, Lord, or we have children or extended family where we need your love and your grace and your wisdom to live lives that honor you, Lord, we declare that this week is a week of favor in relationships, Lord. We thank you that in all areas and all ways, Lord, you cause us to abound and honor you, so we thank you for it, Lord, in your name, amen.